Parshas B'Shalach, Tavshin Pei. So we'll start with a summary of the Parsha. And then as a general overview, the Parsha begins by telling us that after Paro sent the Bnei Yisrael out from Mitzrayim, Hashem didn't allow them to take the most direct route to Eretz Canaan instead. They had to go in a roundabout way, and they traveled through the Midbar, as we know. Hashem went ahead and basically... He was concerned that Bnei Yisrael, if they ran into some confrontation along the way, they would want to go back to Mitzrayim. If they took a short route, it would be a short route to go back, and they'd go back. And the Torah continues on and tells us that the Mitzrayim, Paro, had a change of heart and a change of mind. And even though he chased them out and told them to leave, he then, after he realized after they weren't coming back after 3 days, oh my God, where are my slaves? And he must have very strongly forgot about everything that happened and all the makos, because he starts chasing them and gets all the mitzvahs to chase them.
They really only asked for a 3-day vacation, right? Didn't they?
It's true. But for Paro to have such a change of heart, what had to actually go through his mind to really now pursue them is quite remarkable. So the Egyptians chased them, and they started, the Bnei Yisrael started panicking. And they complained to Moshe, were there not graves in Mitzrayim for us that you needed to take us into the Midbar? And throughout the Parsha, Bnei Yisrael complained multiple times, as we'll discuss. They screamed at Moshe. Moshe said, don't be afraid. Hashem will save us. Hashem's going to fight for you. Just remain silent. So Hashem told Moshe to basically speak to Bnei Yisrael and let them travel. And they get to the Yam Suf. Moshe raises his staff over the Yam and divides, and Bnei Yisrael go through. And the Egyptians, he raises his staff again, and the water then returns to its place and washes and drowns all the Mitzrayim up. And we know then the Shabbos Shira, Moshe leads Bnei Yisrael in singing Az Yashir, and Miriam follows, Moshe's sister, along with the women and singing and dancing. And they have musical instruments and accompaniment. And then the Jews started their travels in the Midbar, beginning of a very, very, very long journey. And they went 3 days without really having any interaction from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but also not having water. And they were not pleased with that. They finally got Marah, and there was water. The water was bitter. They complained. Moshe made the water sweet. And 1 month after being in Mitzrayim, they didn't have food. So after a month of traveling in the desert, they complained to Moshe again that, what, we have nothing to eat here. We left everything in Mitzrayim. Hashem said, I'll send the man and the meat, and he sent it down from the heavens. Again, they complained about the man, and there were certain restrictions about the man. Everyone was supposed to collect the Omer Gogolas for each bais, and they weren't supposed to leave anything left over. They weren't supposed to collect it on Shabbos. And the Parsha concludes, really, that they got to Rephidim, and they ran out of water. And the incident of Bnei Yisrael complaining, Hashem telling Moshe to go ahead and deal with the rock, and the rock, water came out from the rock, a great miracle that happened. And it concludes with really Amalek and the battle with Amalek, where Yehoshua and Moshe lead Bnei Yisrael to victory, and the mentioning of the mitzvah to erase the memory of Amalek forever. So that's a high-level summary, and we'll start off with source number one. So it's a quote from Rav Biederman in Hebrew this time, not in English. He has pamphlets in Hebrew and in English that come out weekly, and they are different. It's from his teachings that somebody goes ahead and collates and puts together, and they're beautiful ideas. So he says as follows in source number one from the Be'er Parsha and Parshas B'Shalach. Pam na'ne avrich lifnei ha'admor miskver. One time an Avreich went ahead and said something to the Skver Rebbe. He said, "Hinei ba l'krasinu Shabbos shel Parnasa." He said, "Oh, the Shabbos of Parnasa is coming. Right? Man, we know Tuesday, Parshas B'Shalach, you read it. The Rebbe Rimanov, it's a school of Parnasa. Many people do it on Tuesday of Parshas B'Shalach. So we know it's really called Shabbos Shira. He called it Shabbos shel Parnasa. Amar lo HaRebbe, no, Shabbos Emunah. It's not Shabbos of Parnasa. Shabbos Parshas B'Shalach is what? It's called Shabbos Emunah, Matt. Shabbos Emunah. Ki kol ha-nemar ba, everything that happens in Parshas B'Shalach, Kriyas Yamsuf, Parshas Haman, Ma'aseh Amalek, kol elum sovim soviv tzir echad, v'hu ha-emunah ba, ba'Hashem. everything that happens, the Kriyas Yamsuf, the man, Amalek, everything that goes on, you just see Yad Hashem and everything in this week's parsha. It's the week of Emunah. It's the Shabbos of Emunah, the Shabbos. Kishelo HaKol, Hashem, everything is His. Humal Shabbakol, He rules over everything. Uviyado Lagado Lachazek HaKol. And with His hand, He can do great and strong, strong wonders for everything. A person can't touch that which is set aside and destined for his friend. A person can't go ahead and huchras. Person can't go ahead and have anything in this world, even have a little bit of something, unless Hashem decided that's the case. And therefore, through Amuna is how you'll come about to getting your parnasa the chakala. See, the Sklei Rebbe corrected this chassid, this avrich, said, it's not the Shabbos of just parnasa. Parnasa is one aspect, but where does parnasa come from? Parnasa comes from Emunah. Saying Parshas Amon on Tuesday is very nice, it's cute. You read it, it's a nice segula, it's a beautiful thing to do every day. And it's I'm sure, you know, it's a segula, and a person though has to have the right kavana, because it's all about Emunah. It's not about just reading words and, okay, magic, hocus pocus, and I have parnasa. I heard a story once that Rav Matis Yahweh Salomon was once in the city. He's Mashgiach in Lakewood. He should have Refuah Shleima. And he was in the city fundraising for Lakewood. And he had the Dav Mincha, so he was in a big corporate office in a boardroom. Went to Dav Mincha there. And it was Tuesday, Parshas Peshalach. And there was a young fellow reading Parshas Haman before Mincha on that Tuesday, which I happened to do this past week. You know, someone texted it to me. So I'm like, all right, you know, I'll read it. And he heard, Rav Matisyahu Solomon heard some elderly man walk over to him, and he said to him, Parshas Haman, nisht, does nothing. I've been saying it 40 years, hasn't helped me at all. So Rav Matisyahu Solomon heard this conversation, and it's probably uncharacteristic of him to go over to somebody he doesn't know and like give them a little bit of musar, but he was so bothered. He went over to the elderly man who said that to him and said to him, excuse me, I heard what you said to him. He said, Parshas Haman never worked for you. Let me. Do you have a job? Yes. Do you have food that you eat? Three times a day, meals for your family and you? Yes. Do you have clothing to wear? You're wearing a nice shirt today. Yes. So what do you mean Parshas Haman doesn't do anything for you? Kadosh Baruch Hu has given you everything that you need. Parshas Haman doesn't mean that you're going to become a billionaire or a millionaire. It doesn't mean you're going to win the lottery. That's what people think. That was his point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you everything you need, your means to live. Of course it's helped you, of course, but a person has to have Emunah. That's what the Sklei Rebbe was saying. It's all about Emunah, understanding that I have exactly what I need in this world. I can't take from my friend because whatever he has is what he needs. If I take from him, it's not going to work, as we'll discuss later. But that's just to open up the Be'er HaParsha of Biderman on Parsha Peshalach. So if we look at source number two, so in the beginning of the Parsha, the Pasuk tells us as follows. Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Ches. Vayasev Elohim es ha'am derech ma'amidbar yamsuf ha'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael me'eres Mitzrayim. So Hashem turned the people toward the Midbar, towards the Yamsuf. The Bnei Yisrael were chamushim, which is usually translated as armed, when they went up from Mitzrayim. So this is Targum Unkelus. How did they, a lot of different Targum try to understand what does chamushim really mean? It's a funny word. It has a sharish of chamesh, five. How does it mean armed? So the Unkelus says as follows, if you look at the end of his translation, Umizrazin sliku bnei Yisrael mi'arad Mitzrayim. That's where the word arm comes from, is from Unkelus, which Rashi quotes as well, and gives a whole explanation in source number four, that it means, he quotes from the Psukim, that it means armed, meaning they had weapons. Because also you're going to ask, when they fight a Amalek, how did they fight a Amalek if they were empty-handed? They carried weapons when they left Egypt. That's what it means, chamushim alu bnei Yisrael. The Rashi quotes at the end another pshat, not just Unkelus, is that they were armed with weapons, but davar acher, at the second last line, chamushim echa mechamisha yatsu. A famous quote from Chazal, that only one-fifth of Bnei Yisrael left, v'arba'a chalakim meisu b'shlosha simei afala. And that four-fifths died during the 3 days of Choshech, of Makas Choshech. If you look at Rashi, back by Makas Choshech, in Perek Yod, Pasuk Kaf Beis, he talks about it there also, that there were certain, the Jews that didn't want to leave Mitzrayim, there were certain Jews who somehow, in some way, they became so Egyptianized while they were there, and so assimilated, even through all the Makos, it's hard to believe, it's hard to understand how, but they didn't want to leave, so Hashem, instead of killing them publicly, went ahead and did it during Makas Choshech. It was mamish 4/5. So 80% of Bnei Yisrael died, according to this Medrash, during Makas Choshech. And only 20%, 1/5, left. Chamushim means a fifth. A fifth left Mitzrayim. That's the second Shan Rashi. So chamushim could mean armed, or it could mean a fifth. Targum Yonasan ben Uziel quotes another pshat. He says, in source number 5, a very fascinating idea. If you look in the underlying part, V'chul chad am chamsha taflin sliku b'nei yisrael me'arid Mitzrayim. And each one, each family, each nation, took 5 children when they left Mitzrayim. So his pshat is no, that each family took 5 children with them. Now that's a little strange. What does that mean exactly? Every single Jewish family took 5 kids? So they all had 5 children? Every family had 5 children? And the last pshat, the Yerushalmi says, Mizainin be'uvda tava sliku b'nei Yisrael pirkei me'arid Mitzrayim. That they left Mitzrayim with good deeds. Uvda tava. What good deeds did they leave Mitzrayim with? The day before they left Mitzrayim, they needed zechusim to get out of Mitzrayim. So Hashem had to give them Dam Pesach and Dam Milah. So if you look in source number 7, the Be'er Yosef puts it all together for us. These four different pshatim. Pshat of being armed with weapons, being 1/5, being 5 children in each family, chamushim, or somehow meaning good deeds, maisim toivim that they left with. So the Be'er Yosef quotes as follows. Masha perish b'targum Yonasan ka'anu b'parshas bo, t'muha dar ma'od. Targum Yonasan ben Uziel's pshat is very troubling. He's the one that says that each family had 5 children. Shekol echad miYisrael hayu lehem chamisha yiladim. V'kula mi ben esrima ben shishim shana, hayu ba'zeh shavim, mitufalim b'chamisha yiladim. According to him, every family had 5 kids. V'kuma sheperish chamish chamish gavra. Mashmeh v'shav l'kulam, v'hu pela. How could it be that every family had exactly 5 children? It's a little bizarre. Usually this family has 2, that one has 6, that one has 4. What does that mean? It just happened to happen when they were leaving Mitzrayim, all of a sudden they had exactly 5? Gam ha-targim Yerushalmi tzarech bir, and the Yerushalmi which recorded needs explanation. Ma she-targim is ayinu be'uvda tavas liku, eze ma'isim tovim ha'yala ha-machshav, tekev di'asim Mitzrayim. What good deeds did they have? And he quotes that yesterday they needed zechusim of Dam Ilan and Dam Pesach Hashem gave them, so what could they have had? In Kain Eich Nasu, if you look at the end of the paragraph, ke'es b'yad mitziyasim v'ziyon v'asim tovim. How all of a sudden now they live Mitzrayim, they have good deeds. What good deeds are they living with? Ulam ha'in yivu'ar pi ma'asha amru kan, in the second paragraph, mechilta v'huva b'rashi, v'chamushim alu. Echad mi chamisha alu. So he says, we can really put all the different definitions together. I think he leaves the armed out. The actual, they're unklus. Maybe he throws it in there. I don't remember, but he definitely connects the other ones. So he says, the one that Rashi brings down, that it was a fifth. Echam nechamisha alu, v'arba chalakim mesu b'shoshes me'afela. V'hainu, shahai b'Yisrael ba'osu ador b'shoim shalai yoratzim lasi. Some in Israel, they didn't want to leave Mitzrayim. U'mesu b'shoshes me'afela. So they died during Makas Choshes, k'mo shevi Rashi parshas bo. V'hine, b'vada nira, d'afal b'yishag dolem shahai b'shoim na'nashu, ava ha'yaladim shal eile, ha'rishoim nishar b'chayim. So he says, the Gedolim, okay, the adults who didn't want to leave Mitzrayim, they were punished. They ended up dying. But what about their children? Their children aren't just going to be killed because their parents are sinning. What about their children? Their children are now orphans. Their children were left alive. They didn't die during Makas Choshech. Ki eila hatzonak tanim ha'ololam yonkin. These are the little babies. Ma'asu ma'pashu shi'amusu Mitzrayim. What did they do? What did they sin that they're going to die in Mitzrayim? Vim Cain, if so. If this is true, then there was 80% of the children of Klal Yisrael, 4/5 of the children of these adults, who the adults died, but the children were still alive, who were orphans, who didn't have parents. And since we know all Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim and no one is left behind, in Cain, bevadei shayim mutalim kol elu hataflei. Yaldeim shel arba hachalakim shemesu al hachilek hachamishi shiyatzam mitzrayim. Sheim lachu asam hataflu bahem. V'halu asam yachin imam b'tzisam mitzrayim. So the rest of the people who were alive, the 20% families, took the children of the 80% who were killed, who were still alive, to leave Mitzrayim with them. So how does the math work out? V'ayinu shekol echad meyisrael la'kach yimu milvad taflu b'nei beso shelo. Right? It doesn't mean 5 children. It means 5 sets of children. I have my own family. That's my b'nei beso. Od arba mishpachos she'yiladim e'ela shehori mesu. And then another 4 family, children of the parents who were killed during Makas Choshech, So I go out with five sets of children, my own and four others, who were orphans.
25.
That's what it means. Well, we don't know the number of children, correct, but it could be 25 children, could have been 40 children. I don't know. Two parents on 40 kids, that's a big zone to play. It's a beautiful pshat. He goes on to quote later on and says, not only that, when a person travels, it's difficult enough to bring your own kids, right? A lot of people want to wait yeshiva break. It's nice to go on vacation. When you go on vacation, it's hard to take your own kids. It's tiring, it's exhausting, it might be fun, it's lively, but it's a lot. It's a lot to just watch your own kids. Then you're going to bring four other sets of children with you as well when you're leaving and traveling somewhere. You're not going on vacation here either. You don't really know where you're going. You don't know, you know, what's going to happen. You're told, Moshe told you, okay, you're going to follow him, fine. It's better than probably Mitzrayim, but I got to watch all these kids, worry about their food, their clothing, their water, their drinking, just changing their diapers, making them have them go to the bathroom, take them to the bathroom every time they need to go. It's a lot of work. People don't usually like taking other people's kids on vacation with them or on trips with them, let alone to leave Mitzrayim with them. That's the chesed. That's the chesed that Bnei Israel took with them when they left Mitzrayim. That's connecting all the ideas. The Yerushalmi's uvda tava that they left Mitzrayim with, the good deeds, was taking the five children, the collective, meaning the five sets of children, their own and the other four sets, who were orphans from Makas Choshech, where the Chamushim, where the four-fifths were killed and only one-fifth survived, Chamushim Alu Bnei Yisrael, Mitzrayim, out of Mitzrayim with them, the chesed they did for those children by taking them out. A beautiful Ber Yosef connecting all the different pshatim on what does Chamushim mean exactly. So it's connecting the Rishami's pshat with Rabbi Yonasan ben Uziel, with Yonasan ben Uziel, with Unklus, and with Rashi's pshat. And the armed, maybe it means literally also they were armed. Maybe they're armed with children. You know, they were armed with a lot of people, more people. He also talks about, we don't know the cheshbon of Bnei Yisrael, Ber Yosef quotes, Ber Yosef Solon says, we have no idea how many people actually left Mitzrayim. We knew the count was 600,000, but now, all these orphans, all these, who knows how many people were actually there when they left Mitzrayim, he says. It's a beautiful pshat, and he quotes at the end in the footnote on page number 3 at the bottom. So at the end of the first line, he says, according to this pshat, Tia gama kavana maisa chesed tzedakah shasu Yisrael akachas me. He quotes the pasuk. What is the chesed nurayach that Yirmiyahu in Perek Beis, pasuk Beis, in source number 8 says? Right, the famous song. What was that chesed nurayach? So perhaps this is the chesed nurayach. Perhaps he says he offers a pshat. This was the chesed that Bnei Yisrael, the loving kind, that Hashem remembers the loving kindness of your youth, that you followed me in the desert. Maybe this was it. The loving kindness that you, Mamish, parented a set of four additional children and took care of them, brought them out of Mitzrayim, and treated them as your own children and were parents to them. So perhaps that could be an explanation what it is. So beautiful pshat at the Beit Yosef, talking about a zechus. Maybe that not everybody here, you know, thinks about a Bnei Yisrael. Now we'll talk a little bit, you know, we'll try to get a little bit later, hopefully, into also this parsha isn't so, there's a lot of things Bnei Yisrael does that are good, maybe this, right? And then there's a lot of things Bnei Yisrael does that we have to understand better. They complain left and right about one thing after the next. They're going to die in the Midbar, about the food, the water, the meat, nothing's good for them. They're upset with everything. I mean, they didn't appreciate anything. They were just not happy people. That's what it sounds like. You know, all we do is go, there are kvetchers in life. There are people like this. I know people like this. I'm sure you do too. People who just kvetch all the time. Doesn't matter how good things are for them. They just kvetch. It doesn't matter if, like, they have a really good job and they're making a lot of money and they have a wonderful wife and everyone's healthy and, you know, and they have beautiful children. There's always something wrong. There's always something to complain about. If you look for things to complain about in life, that's the yisod. That's what you see from this parasha. You'll find things.
I'm going to jump in to defend and say that if you spent 3 days in the desert without any water, you might complain too.
That's a very, very good point, Aaron. I agree. So we'll have to understand exactly. But after seeing all the makos and the kriyas yamsuf and knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your leader, Moshe is taking you out, and Hashem is your God. So you're right. That's devil's advocate, 100%. If it's me or you, and you know we're natural, and in Mitzrayim you had water, and Mitzrayim, you know, you were a slave, but you had your needs, your basic necessities. Here you're lacking your necessities, your food and your water, and you think you're going to die in Mitzrayim. You're not dying. You don't have your food and you have your food and water. So you're right. It's a very plausible you know, counter argument. So let's see. Some ideas on this. We'll get to that soon. Before we get to that, let's look in source number 10. Rav Meir Shapiro has a beautiful idea on the man. So he says in source number 9, the pasuk says Perek Tezayin pasuk Tes Vav. So the pasuk tells us as follows: Vayiru b'nei Yisrael. Vayir b'nei Yisrael, vayomru ish el echav manhu, ki lo yadu mahu, vayomru Moshe aleim hu alechem ashenasan adonai lechem le'ochla. So, a person said to, b'nei Yisrael said to one another, they saw and said to one another, it's man, it's food. They didn't know what it was, and Moshe said to them, this is the food Hashem has given you for eating. This is your food. It's funny, man, mahu, right after, sounds alike, but says Rav Meir Shapiro and Imre Das, a beautiful idea. It says, "B'mechilta," there's a medrash that says, "Lo nitna tayra el lo eichle haman." The Torah was only given to those who ate man. What does that mean? People who ate man are the only people who got the Torah? It might mean that the people in the desert were the people who got the Torah. The people in the desert were the people who ate the man. So the same people on a simple level. But he has a much deeper message to understand and asks as follows. T'muah, it's a question. Hari ha-Torah nitna l'cho Yisrael b'chol matzavim. The Torah wasn't just given to them, it was given to every Jew in all situations. Galoshan Rambam, the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Aleph Halachah Tes, Bein Bari Ubein Chol, who has a chiv of Talmud Torah, says the Rambam, who is obligated to learn Torah? Whether you're healthy, whether you're sick, you're obligated. Bein Nar, Bein Zakin, whether you're young, whether you're old. Chayavim L'kvoz Man L'Talmud Torah. Person has to set aside time to Talmud Torah. How long? Oh, everyone's different. It could be a minute, it could be 10 minutes, it could be an hour, but everybody has a chiv. It doesn't matter if you're healthy or sick, old or young, you have to set aside Talmud Torah. Madua dafka l'ochle haman. So what's the mechilta telling us that it's just the ochle haman were the ones who were given the Torah? Says Rav Meir Shapiro, v'hakavana yesh lomar lefi ma shamar kasuv. He quotes the pasuk, v'yom yishel echav, manhu ki lo yadu mahu, v'lechor tamua, dim kein hayalehem likros ma, v'lo man. They called it man because they didn't know what it was, right? That's what the pasuk says. That they said to one another, manhu, for they didn't know what it was, but they called it man, because mahu. So why don't they just call it mahu? What is this? They're not sure what it is. Tiimkein hayalun lukos ma velo man. Acha inyan hu api divrei Rashi. So he quotes Rashi. Man, if you look in source number 11, you'll see it, comes from the lashon of what? Hachanas mazon hu. It's a preparation of food. It's preparing. It's hachana. It's a lashon hachana. Kama shekasav Yonah, as the pasuk in Yonah tells us. V'hine Hashem Yisbarach Hashpias Halechem Haruchani. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is the one that gave this spiritual bread. Hu haman. That's the man. The Chol Yisrael b'shava to each person equally. Lo yigra zemizet. No one had less than the next person. Raka hevdel hayavatam. What was the only difference between you and me with the man back in the day, in the midbar when it fell? It wasn't how much we got, but it was how it tasted. It was the taste of the man that could have been different. Kol echa tam tam acher b'man. Everyone had a different taste for the man. The man tasted differently to everybody. Kol echa tam lefi asagaso. You tasted what you wanted to taste, right? According to your level. Hagdolim bale asaga tam abalechem rechani tam choshuv. Beautiful chiddush here. It wasn't like, okay, I want it to taste like, you know, a pizza, so it's going to taste like pizza. I want it to taste like cheesecake, so it's going to taste like cheesecake. I want it to be a steak tonight, it's going to be steak. No, it was a spiritual tasting. It wasn't a physical kind of tasting. Maybe it was both. Maybe it physically tasted that way, but it was much deeper than that. It was the lechem ruchani. A chash of a person in Bnei Yisrael, it tasted very good to them. It was very chash of to them. V'ilu ha-pechusim mehem tam otam pachus. People who are a little less than the chash of people, tasted a little less tasty to them. U'pshuteham tam otam pachus. People were simple. Simple things tasted simple to them. Didn't taste very good. It was all according to hachana, which is what man means, of the way that they prepared. That would determine how it tasted to them. And that's the pshat that one person said to his brother, it's man. They each told their friend that it was man and what it tasted like. I said, oh my God, it was amazing. It tasted so good last night, the dinner I had. It was such a tastiest thing I ever had. They each thought they were having the same thing, right? It's the same food that's fallen from the sky. Then I think that what you're eating and I'm eating is the same thing because it looks the same, but it doesn't taste the same. But I go over to you and I talk to you about it as if you think it's the same thing that I had. for dinner last night, but it's not. Ulam no delam shelo kena davar ela kol echad hirgesh tamacher v'lo yadu mahu. Klomar lamaze. They didn't get it. The mahu is that they didn't understand what's going on. I go to you, I tell you it was so tasty, and you say it wasn't so tasty. Or you come to me. You're the chashuv person, you come to me, you say it was so tasty last night, it was an amazing dinner. I say, what do you mean? It tasted like it's been, you know, sitting out for a few days from the fridge, and it just wasn't very good. It wasn't spoiled, but it just was. There was no spices. It didn't taste right. What do you mean? It tasted a little salt and pepper in it. Mahu, what's going on here? We're having a different conversation. It's the same food. He says, V'yomru manhu. It says manhu. Hainu she'atam ba'lefi ha'achana. The tam of it is according to ha'achana. Kamo v'yaman ki lefi ha'goda ha'achana kein haya ha'hergesh b'tamim. According to what kind of level they were on, how close they were to Torah, how close they were to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what they didn't get the Torah yet, but how close, how much they believed in Hashem at the time. So that's how great the man tasted. Says Rabbi Meir Shapiro, Lolitna Torah el ochle aman. What does that mean now? Let's bring it back home. What does it mean the Torah was only given? The man was only given. The Torah was only given to those who ate man. Kein ha'davar b'Torah. Yesh margishin tam matikos b'limud ha'Torah v'yeshena margishin tam matikos b'Torah. Some people who learn Torah, they taste the sweetness. They love it. They can't get enough of it. They want to keep learning. They want to keep hearing more of it. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. And other people, it's not tasty to them. They don't enjoy it. It's very hard for them. They're sitting there and like they just want the shiur to be over. Hopefully no one here. They just want to go home. They don't want to sit and learn with the chavrusa anymore. So hakol tolei ba'achana. What does it have to do with? It's all dependent on achana. The more a person works at Torah, the more a person prepares himself to Torah, the more a person is able to understand Torah, the higher level they have in Torah, then it's sweeter. It's sweeter for them. The connection is that just like by the man, everyone tasted something differently with the special spiritual bread, depending on how chashuv or not you were. So to a Torah. Everyone has a different experience when it comes to learning Torah. Some people have the most gevaldik and mardik experience. Other people have not the greatest experience, and it's sad for them. So they need to try to work on it or figure out, find a piece of Torah that they can connect with, that they can enjoy more. Find a Rebbe that they can be attracted to more in his style and his learning. Whatever it is, find a chavrusa that they get along with better and enjoy learning with. But everyone has a different experience. You have two people sitting and learning, or you have 20 people sitting in a shir and learning, and everyone walks out with a different experience. They experienced that Torah in a different way. Just like the man, the taste of the man, everything was shava except for the taste. The taste was the only thing that was different. So too Torah is different. And it reminded me actually here, we'll just say it outside for time to get to more in the parsha because it's a little tangent, but it just reminded me of a halacha by Hilchos Chanukah, which really connects to also a halacha by Hilchos Purim. Purim's coming up very soon. So figure we'd throw this in there. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Hilchos Chanukah that the sudos that you have in Chanukah, he says it's in Shulchan Aruch or Chaim Simon Tafrei Shain Sef Beis. Ribu Isudas Shemar Behem Isudas Rishus Shelok Kavam Lemishta Besimcha. But the sudas you have in Chanukah are just the sudas Rishus. There's no obligation to have a suda on Chanukah. In contrast to Purim, we have the mitzvahs Hayom, four of them, I believe. Kriyas Megillah, Dula Chazar. It's coming up. The suda. Shachmaras and Matanas Levyonim, right? Four mitzvahs Hayom, Chris Megillah twice. Maybe it's two separate mitzvahs. Okay? Those are the four Ikra mitzvahs, and one of them is the Suda. You gotta have a Suda on Purim, a big Suda, a nice Suda, and a fun Suda, an enjoyable Suda. There's a Chiyuv to have a Suda. So why? So the Mishnah Berurah basically quotes this Lavosh. But the Lavosh explains it's because the miracles that we're celebrating at the time of Chanukah and Purim are different. He says that Bnei Yisrael in the time of Antiochus didn't have a decree against them on Hanukkah to be killed, really. It was just to convert. By Haman, the decree, there was a date on the calendar that all Jews were going to be killed. They're going to be slaughtered, murdered. But they were saved from two different things. On Hanukkah, if Jews would have gone ahead and assimilated to the Hellenists and to the Greeks at the time and said, okay, I'm not going to keep Shabbos anymore, I won't eat kosher, no problem. The Greeks, the Lavosh quotes, would have wanted nothing more than that. They would have been totally happy with that. There wouldn't have been a whole Maccabees war, and it just wouldn't have happened if that's what the Jews did. By Purim, there was nothing to say. You know, Purim, you could have gone to Haman. Haman, I'm going to give up my Judaism. No, no, you're being killed. You're a Jew. Doesn't matter. There's a big difference as to what the Gzeira was and what the Nes was. The Hatzalah, the Nes on Purim, was Meimavis L'chaim. On Chanukah, wasn't really. In Chanukah, they were able to go ahead and keep the Torah. They were able to go ahead. They tried to Ashkicham Estar Secha, and they were able to then, B'nai Yisrael, were able to keep the Torah properly and not be clouded in their minds with the darkness of the Hellenism that the Greeks wanted to put in there. So why is there no Chiyuv Suda? Because there's no, on Chanukah, there was no Hatzalah of the body. You weren't saved physically. It was a spiritual salvation. But on Purim, it was a physical salvation, so it's a Chiyuv Suda. That's how it's said over. I'm sure you've heard this idea before. What does that mean exactly? What it means is that on Chanukah, everyone was affected differently by the Gzeros of the Greeks. If you didn't care so much about your Ruchnius, they didn't bother you that much. You can't keep Shabbos? Oh, no. I'm from, but like, whatever. Shabbos I don't really like anyway, so okay. But if Shabbos was your life, and you loved Shabbos, and you loved keeping kosher, and you loved Torah, and you loved Emunah, and you loved mitzvos, then that really bothered you. You couldn't sleep at night. What am I going to do? How am I going to live? I can't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. And you had other people who were like, okay, we'll go with the flow. We'll still try to keep the mitzvos and everything. We're not going to convert, but like, I can sleep at night. Whatever. If we need to convert one day because they threatened to kill us, we'll convert. It affected every Jew differently. Therefore, the celebration also, right? Every Jew in Chanukah celebrates in a different way. There's no uniform obligation that everyone has to have a suda. Some people will have a suda, and if they sing Shiros and Tishbachos, as the Ramah quotes, then it becomes a sudas mitzvah, and it's not just a sudas rishos, because that's a person who mamish was so bothered by the tsar that was caused by Antiochus and the Xeros of the Greeks, that then when the Hatzalah came about, enjoyed it that much more. But the other Jews who didn't necessarily weren't so bothered by the Xera, so okay, the salvation wasn't the biggest salvation. There's not much to celebrate. It's not a uniform kind of celebration. It was a very particular and specific individual to each Yochin by Chanukah, which kind of relates to the man and to the learning of Torah, as Rav Meir Shapira quoted earlier. Moving on to source number 14, Rav Zevin, he quotes a beautiful idea about man as well. He says, "Vayomer Moshe, ze adavar sher tziva Hashem Eloha omer mimenu lishmeres, lemishmeres, ledorosechem, leman yiros halechem, asher echalti eschem bamidbar, kach tzantzenes achas, usen shema meloha oimer, man v'anach osolif ne Hashem lishmeres ledorosechem." So he quotes these psukim about the man, and he says as follows, "Haman misamel es hamazon shel ha'adam." Man represents the sustenance of man. Bit Seo ha ideali, I think, at its ideological peak, in at its highest form ideologically, man represents the sustenance of a person. Halechem shenitim leYisrael min haShemayim b'tkufa shebein yitzias Mitzrayim v'abom eretz no Shabbos. Lechem ze shimesh kas v'dogma. It was given to us, that bread at the time, the man, at the time, as an example for us, to teach us something. This type of man is teaching us what a person really needs to go ahead and try to desire and want in life, and also what your eyes need to be focused on, what your goals should be. Shalosh tchunos ma'afionos esaman. He says there are three characteristics that describe that the man is baked with, that describe the man. Hashvivin, hazikuk, v'hatam. The fact that it was all shaveh, there was an equanimity with the man. The zikuk, the fact that it refined you, it cleansed you, and the taste, the tam. So for time purposes, let's read through it. It's a beautiful piece. We'll go through it, and we'll see if we get to the next source or not. So he says, the equanimity ketzad, hashashavim ketzad. Ish lefi ochlo omer gagos v'yukutu hamarbe v'hamamet, v'yamodu v'aymer lohediv hamarbe v'hamamet lohechzer ish lefi ochlo lakter. Right? No one lacked. The person tried to take more, it didn't work. Person tried to take less, it didn't happen. They had exactly the same amount of man. Yeshalakto harbe yeshalakto mat, says Rav Zevin. Some people tried. Some people took more, other people took less. Ukshibola beisam, but when they got to their house, umadu ish ish mashaliktu, and they measured how much they actually had. They had exactly an omer lagolgolus. Somehow the amount became exactly that measurement, and it wasn't what they took, but rather it was equal to what everyone else took as well, exactly an omer lagolgolus. V'zeneis gadol shenaseh, but it was a huge miracle. As Rashi quotes, Adam yachol avod kamat. So he says as follows. What's the lesson from that? What's the equanimity? What does this mean for us today? So this is follows beautifully. Adam yachol avod kamash yuchal. Person can work right as much as he wants. The yachol adam lamait kamash lamait. A person can slack off and be lazy as much as he wants. Ubesofo shel davar lo adif amarbe v'amamit lo hechzir ish tefiyachol. In the end of the day, he quotes the pasuk kazeh hu tayras hashulchan yehudi, that lo adif hamarbe v'amamit lo hechzir. A person will not be lacking or have more than exactly what they're supposed to have. It's not saying a person should say, okay, so I'll sit home and I won't do anything, because the pasuk says, you had to go out and actually get it. You had to put effort in. It didn't like show up on your doorstep. You had to go gather it. They went ahead and gathered it for 6 days. But the man, the portion that a person got, was equal for every single person, each lefiochlo, each according to what they needed to eat, in oidef lezeve in chisarin lesheni. Not more for this person, less for that person. It's a big yisod in life. That's what the lesson of the month teaches us. That I can look at somebody else and say, oh my God, that guy has a huge house. That other guy has a much better job than me. I know he makes a lot more money than me. In the end of the day, the Ribono Shalom is in charge. In the end of the day, I have exactly what I'm supposed to have, and he has exactly what he's supposed to have. His job in this world could be to be a big Baal Tzedakah. The guy with the big house, he has 20 people at his house every Shabbos for a meal. I can't do that. I can't fit that at my table. I can only fit 4. That's my job, is to go ahead but to be happy with what I have and to realize not just happy, but it's emuna. This is exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to have, not more, not less. That's the lesson of the month, that everyone got the exact same portion. There was no difference amongst everyone. Haziku Ketzad, so what about the cleansing? So he says that the man would go ahead and be absorbed in their bodies. We'll just say it outside because the time's running short. 100%. And a person never needed to go to the bathroom from the man. It was complete nutrition, right? It's a nutritionist's dream. A nutritionist wants to know, what should I put on the menu? Or what should I tell my next client what they should eat to help them, you know, eat the healthiest thing in the world? The answer was man. It was the healthiest thing. No waste was part of it. Nothing bad. It was all good. It was exactly all the ingredients you needed. It was 100% pure. And the lesson for us is that our lives need to be the same way. Our lives need to be pure, says Rav Zevin. We need to be honest. We need to go ahead and make sure that we're acting in the proper way and the way we should be acting. And just like that man was 100% perfect and pure, we need to behave that way in our lives as well. And the third idea, the tam, what is that going ahead and teaching us? The taste of the man. So the taste of the man was, according to Rav Zevin, and this is from Midrashim, I think, that it tasted however a person wanted it to taste like. You chose how it tasted. And that's a big yisod in life also. A person chooses how their package in life is tasted. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can go ahead and give a person an entire, a certain lot in life, right? This is your family, this is your situation. You didn't go ahead and choose it necessarily. This is what you were given. And the question is, how is it going to taste to you? Is it going to be good or is it going to be bad? Is it going to be something that you like or something you don't like? What's your attitude going to be towards the lot that you're given in life? What was Bnei Yisrael's, what did they choose for it to taste like? Again, the tam of it was they chose for it to taste sweet. They wanted it to be good. If they want it to be good, a person needs to choose that they're alive as well, whatever they're given in life, to find the good in it as well. And that's the last idea from Rav Zevin, and we'll conclude with an idea from the Kutzker. So if we look on source number Did I cut it out back? Oh, no, no. Source number 18, page number 8. So we know, we mentioned earlier, that Bnei Yisrael got to, there was no water. And finally, they got to Marah, there was water, but it was bitter. And Moshe spoke to Hashem. The Bnei Yisrael complained. And they said, what are we going to drink? And they cried out to Hashem. Moshe cried out to Hashem. Hashem said, throw the stick into the water. And it became sweet. And that's what happened. Katzke Rav had a beautiful pshat on this pasuk. So the pasuk says, "Vayavo marasa v'liyachulishdos mayim meimara kimarim heim alkein karshma mara." They couldn't drink the water. Why kimarim heim? So what is the typical pshat for marim heim mean? Typical pshat for marim heim means that the water was bitter, so they couldn't drink it. So they complained. They want water that they could drink. Says Katzke Rav, kimarim heim, because they were bitter. Bnei Yisrael's attitude was that of a bitter attitude. They looked at the water as a bitter water, and so the water was bitter. And that's what the Kutzker says the pshat is. It's not kimar him that the water was actually bitter, but they were bitter people. They complained so many times to Moshe after seeing all these nisim and flows, the makos kriyas yamsuf, and one thing after the next. The Medrash says they complained about the mud as they were walking through the yam. Of course it's going to be muddy. The water just split. The dirt's mushy. But they complained about it. They said, in Mitzrayim, we didn't have mud on our feet that wasn't so wet. What is this? That's a medrash. That was their attitude. Because it's all a mindset. It's all an attitude. If a person goes ahead and has this mindset of bitterness, then things are going to be bitter in life. But a person has an attitude of things are sweet. Things are good. There's a metikus, like we saw from Rav Meir Shapiro, of for Torah and the Man, how you wanted it to taste. Then things are going to be good in life. You always can find the good in life if you look for the good. And you can always find the bad if you look for the bad. So we should always look for the good. We should always find the good. And we should always find the sweetness in everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to us, because it's all sweet. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos. And Shkoyach on coming.